and good evening, and welcome to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire live on MSI Radio. That's www.msiradio.com, where we are seeking solutions, and we pretty much implement them as much as we can. And I'm going to fire straight into the first part of my show, because I am really, really happy that later on I'm going to be having Dennis Collins coming on to talk about the new bill that Luke Ming Flanagan is putting through the Royal Oireachtas, where we are supposedly being one of the countries who are going to legalize cannabis. So we'll talk about that much later, and a lot of other things too. But I am really thrilled to have, all the way from New Zealand, from his own shows and his own YouTubes and Mr. News himself, I have Vinny Eastwood. Are you with me, Vinny?
Yes, I am.
Is that how you're going to speak for the rest of the show, Vinny?
Yes, I will.
Oh, God, I hope not. Well, welcome to MSI Radio. And I know you've been on when we used to be called TNS Radio before, but I think this is now MSI Radio, where we're media streaming international, and it's great to have you here, and I'm thrilled. I've been sort of in awe of you years ago, in fact a couple of years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, and I used to listen to your stuff, and I've been involved basically getting out there with my own stuff, if you like, and haven't really paid that much remarks to any other radio hosts around the world, but Vinny, you are on the radar often, interviewing great people, exposing great things, and telling people the truth as it is. And actually in our chat box at the moment, because I was talking to a few people there, chatting away to them before you came on live, we've actually got people here who said that you are the person that woke them up.
Really? Well, that's interesting, yeah. Because I wasn't even trying.
Isn't that great? You don't have to try.
Well, I mean, my intention's different, but I can see why it would wake people up anyway, regardless. So some people go out with the intention to wake people up. You ever gone up to somebody who doesn't believe you and try to repeat yourself and come up with this information, that information, when they just trust you and they just don't really care anyway, and you know that they don't, but you still keep talking anyway, and you wind up getting frustrated and full of hate and full of spit and vinegar, and then you wind up getting really, really angry with life itself, and then you wind up getting really depressed, getting angry with all your friends and family and everything like that, because they're effed off with you because you won't shut the frack up once in a while. All right. It's that kind of thing that I'm trying to get rid of. It takes about seven different people, mind you, telling you the same thing before it'll sink in. So truthers have got a really bad idea of going up to a person and then trying to say something seven times in order to get it to sink in. Doesn't work that way. No wonder everybody hates you. No wonder your family doesn't talk to you anymore. No wonder you stop getting invited to Christmas. You know? I mean, come on. Being a truther is real hard. Don't make it harder on yourself. Yo, you've got to remember what you used to be before you started learning the truth. You got to remember what you used to think about society, and just remember that other people think about society that way still. They haven't watched 100-something documentaries on YouTube yet, bro. You can't expect the world of them. After all, if somebody comes up and treat you the same way that you're now treating people, you probably would have clocked them, wouldn't you? Missing teeth.
Nah. I don't think you know me, Vinny.
I'm just generalizing, of course, because
I know.
You just got to have fun with it, eh? You know, I mean, after all, why not have fun? It's just the end of the world.
Well, the funniest thing about it, and I use the word funny, you know, meaningfully, is that when one laughs at the psychopathy that's going on, that's being allowed, that's being consented to, it's feckin' hilarious. It is funny, and they hate being laughed at.
Oh yeah, and you can't help yourself either. Like, we had this Pete Santilli character. We had Anonymous. Thank you very much, Anonymous. Whoever the frack you are, mired in COINTELPRO accusations, Anonymous are. But I've spoken to a few people who actually were previously with Anonymous. They're not COINTELPRO. They're just ordinary dudes sitting at home trying to do their best. That means that when something good happens, people kind of come out and accuse everybody of being COINTELPRO. Oh, there must be another agenda. They haven't just done something good. No, no, no. Look, even if it's an anonymous, infiltratable society, it doesn't mean that there's not a single good person in it who does good things.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Right? Like, I'm sure even McDonald's has people that aren't, you know, scum. Can't vouch for that, but anyway.
On the lower levels, maybe.
Yeah. So, we get sent this document, and it's a fax from Santilli to the Sacramento field office of the FBI. Him complaining that they're not protecting him, as agreed, and naming the Daphne Hearn, who is the head of the FBI field office in San Diego, who is a very high-placed woman, who has a specialist in counterterrorism, cyberbullying, cyber terrorism, organized crime. All right? And Pete Santilli is saying, you guys need to protect me because I'm being exposed and our Operation Out Truck is compromised. And if you don't come and help me, if you just leave me out to burn, I assure you that I will tell my version of events. You approached me, intimidated me into this position. How do you like that? So he's threatening the FBI and the Department of Justice.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
Does this sound like a person who's just perhaps a little unhinged?
Sounds like somebody who thinks he's a superior being. He should be one of the elites. He should be right at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, and he also mentioned in this fax that I'm not gaining listeners and support like you said I would.
Okay, so he's not a very entertaining one.
And it's more the fact that people like me, other good, decent individuals like Suzanne Posel, and other of his former cohorts who he's screwed over, like Zeta Andrews, truckers and bikers
Posel, I'll get the name right, has just had a threat against her, hasn't she, after exposing what she did on her recent blog.
She did. This is the threat here. This is from Press... what was it called? Press Storm Media has issued a threat to me regarding this article. This person, who is a Pete Santilli sympathizer, claims to have documentation showing that Zeta Andrews placed donation funds into her, quote, personal checking account while demanding a retraction. This person also issued a threat that by, quote, 10 p.m. tonight to either fix the article with truthful info and publicly reprimand Susan for a complete and utter false article, or I will go public tomorrow. Oh, and rather loudly, with about 3 million listener show. To start, Prestall Media said, quote, data is wrong about Santilli, and I'm about to launch a national campaign with documented truth which will smear your credibility from here to the ends of the earth. I would advise taking down the article about Santilli and the FBI because I was beside Zeta Andrews' side and took pics of and have video of Zeta putting the money from PayPal, 100% of it, into her personal checking account. You have until 10 p.m. tonight to either fix the article with truthful info and publicly recommend Susan, or I'm going to start to go public with my 3 million listeners show. I just interviewed Zeta Andrew not 15 minutes ago, and it's all lies. Zeta had access to the PayPal account. Sure, that wasn't happening. The money out of that wasn't stolen. The money that was taken and gone missing was other things, right? Other PayPal accounts and other Bitcoin accounts that Pete Santilli set up for the Truckers' Right of the Constitution after removing the buttons where the PayPal money would go directly to Zeta. So what we're talking about is complete and utter. It's a textbook COINTELPRO op, right?
Right.
You infiltrate the movement, intimidate everybody, take it over, and then you seize control of the apparatus, right? And that's precisely what he's done. And then, of course, after you've done it and you get exposed, you then need to attack every single person who's going to expose you. who knows the truth. So he accused Zeta Andrews of being a three-time donation fraudster. He accused her of being a drug dealer of methamphetamine. He accused her, you know, it's just insane. Yeah. He accused me of being a pedophile. he just throws out all this stuff, and it's another part of the FBI document which is quite interesting, is that he says, "I'm running out of people to blame." He's complaining to the FBI that he's running out of people to blame for the stuff that he actually did.
Well, and this is immediate. This is happening right now, isn't it?
So this is current. This is breaking, man. Yeah. I haven't even gotten that interview with Zeta up because I'm just right on here, and then I'm going to go right on my show. Second hour of my show today, I will be simulcasting, I believe, with Guerrilla Radio at Freedomizer Radio. The Vinny Eastwood Show at American Freedom Radio and Freedomizer and Guerrilla Radio will be simulcasting for the second hour of my show, where we're having a roundtable discussion with a number of Pete's victims and those who are coming together to expose him. And the reason for this being, the reason why we're actually acting as a group, it's phalanx principle. If you're familiar with Greek military tactics, a phalanx is a wall of shields. Okay, and like in the movie 300 sort of thing, the reason why the phalanx works is because you're not protecting yourself with your shield, you're actually protecting the person next to you. And Santilli is very, very, very nasty. There is no low blow to which he will not go, bro. There is an absolute danger in exposing him. I'm afraid. Okay, he sent me death threats, veiled death threats, is defaming me all over the place. He's not doing his show live today, since we released the video and article exposing him as an FBI informant last night. He's playing a rerun,
isn't it?
It is very interesting indeed. He must be freaking out right now, and in fact, that's the reason why he sent that fax to the FBI in the first place. We've confirmed it's the correct Sacramento FBI field office phone number. We've confirmed that the persons mentioned in that fax are in fact real people that have standing at the FBI. We've confirmed all of this, so... by all accounts, it appears very, very genuine that he is, in fact, an FBI asset. Okay?
Okay.
So, and everybody says, oh, this is just infighting, this is just infighting, you're accusing... No, this isn't infighting. This is exposing an infiltrator. If you don't know the difference between infighting and exposing real infiltrators with documented evidence to prove it, not hearsay, not BS, not interpretation, not interpolation or imagination, this is real. He actually is an FBI asset. Stop listening to him. Stop helping him.
Vinny, if anyone is listening from the Santilli camp, probably the FBI, and they would be listening, I'm sure, Pete or any of those are quite welcome to ring in, aren't they, to this show right now on 00353-144-33309, or indeed on Skype, Vincent Temp 1. Come on in. Let's hear you.
See, I wouldn't do that.
If I was innocent, Vinny, and you know, and the truth that was going out there was wrong about me and it wasn't true at all, I would be definitely standing up and showing my true colours and saying, "Hey, this is me. This is what's going on."
But instead, he goes off air.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. He's done the opposite.
All right. It's because he's freaking guilty. And you know what's going to happen if anybody calls in that's in support of Pete Santilli? They will either A, be a proto-psychopath who thinks the sun shines out of his ass, and will accuse me of everything under the sun and say that I'm an agent of the New World Order, or I'm a communist, or any number of names, demonization, attacks, swearing, violence, threats. I've got hundreds of screenshots, literally hundreds of screenshots of all of his trolls and scum and filth and everything who come out against anybody who ever says a bad thing about him. When you say a bad thing about me
Well, only
nobody. But when people say a bad thing about me, A few people will come out and defend me and say, look, man, that's just not true. Vinny's a nice guy. He doesn't hurt nobody. But when people come out and attack Pete Santilli, his listeners come in and say, "Who's a god?" You know, like little demon screams coming out of the frickin' woodwork. Just bad people. Bad people who listen to a bad man and are very easily manipulated. Because he's a psychopath, right? Now, psychopaths are kings among men at manipulating other people. They are the controllers, they are the archons, they are the scumbaggery, gooey, sugary nougat at the center of the truth movement and of power and finance and everything. These creatures are unbelievably powerful.
And they're slimy, really fucking slimy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't like swearing, but when I think about psychopaths... shall we not give him any more time during this show? Because, Vinny, I want to talk to you about you.
Yeah. Okay. Change subject.
Is that all right?
Yep. No worries.
Okay. Because, look, I mean, there's a lot of people who out there might not even know, might not even have been part of what you've been going through. I mean, for example... Well, even before I was involved with radio, and just when I was on Fraud Book, you know, posting up my truthing type of posts, I obviously overstepped the mark quite often. And paedophile Get Sean Maguire, the paedophile off Facebook, was put up. And just as you said, I didn't have to do anything about it because people basically who knew me, who would leave their children with me, okay, they would go on that page, or on, there were two pages actually, they'd go on those pages and go, "What? Who is this? Show yourself. Tell us who you are, et cetera." And they would be taken down quite quickly. So us that can stand tall and walk forward and, you know, we make mistakes, we get things wrong, of course we do. But we can innocently do that and gullibly and maybe incompetently do that. So let Pete Santilli, who is obviously an FBI shill, feck off and not be part of this anymore.
Yeah.
There you go. So, Vinny... In the over three years you've been on radio, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's just gone quiet, and I've just been listening to you for the last 5 minutes. It's been fantastic. I didn't have to say a word. So I'm going to ask you, out of those 3 years you've been on the radio, Vinny, what is the main subject that has bitten you, that's got to you, that you really, you know, that made you never, ever want to turn back and that you really want to keep on doing what you're doing? What was the crux? What was the main thing?
You know, it was actually kind of everything, it wasn't really a subject at the end of the day. It was my life. It was a personal thing because I'd been working for telecommunications companies. I was a really, really good salesman, like literally the best on the floor. 6 months, nobody could touch me. And then they promoted me to another sales job, even after I told them I don't want another sales job. I want to kind of hang up that and I want to start helping people instead of just making money for the company. And so I didn't really like it. And I got bored and wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company, their training protocols, their staff retention, their turnovers, their systems. I literally spent a decent period of time walking around the company talking to people in different divisions from all over the place so that I could personally get a massive overview of everything that was going on now that I was in the position to find out. And what I found was not freaking good, bro. There were like problems and fires needing to be put out absolutely everywhere. And so naturally, after I released this this document to the and the owners of the company, they said, "Oh, wow, that's really good suggestions. Leave in 5 minutes, and we'll pay you $3,000, and never come back, yeah, and never tell anybody which company you work for."
Great. So, so that was on the smaller level. Then when you saw how incompetent the bosses and the corporation you were working for were, and then you saw it on the bigger picture, so that's how you moved into the world of feck. Everyone at the top seems to be an asshole.
No, it actually took a little bit longer than that, because then I had another two jobs. One where I actually had to wind up paying about $80 a week in order to work 40 hours for another sales job. And then another one after that where the guy I was working for was a psychopath. He like total control freak. Gives me a ring at like 9 on a Friday while I got a beer in my hand on my mate's couch, and he tells me to get up, get off the freaking couch and try and, you know, do something. go and get a pen and a paper and write down the name of a client to call on frickin' Monday, right? It's just insane. So I quit, and my last paycheck there was about $4,000 after tax, cash, and $11,900 worth of Westfield shopping vouchers. So that was my last month's paycheck of real, actual work. I could still be making that pretty much every month if I wanted to.
If you want to be a slave.
But I developed called employophobia, a fear of being employed. And I have not... And I have not been able to follow orders or get paid hourly or show up to a location at like 9 o'clock in the morning after getting in traffic and stuff like that and waking up with a really annoying alarm. And ever again, I haven't been able to do it. You know, it's just not ability has been unfortunate because it means that I have to stay home and be on the internet and interview people and be interviewed by people and expose scumbaggery all over the place. And then what's the main topic that's actually really stuck it in for me, I think, was back when the Gulf of Mexico oil spill happened. I had a look at so many of the reports coming out. This is basically like the end. And if the end of the Gulf is signaled, that's the end of Gulf seafood, that's the end of a massive industry in the United States, and think about all the corrects at 9500, the fumes and everything like that. Oh my God, the States is fracked. It's going to be like a virtual no man's land. I've got to do something. And that was a big kick, a big jolt for me. And so I called my dad and I said, Dad, I need 10 grand so I can just start my radio show. Just to be able to live off and have my car and fixed and all of that kind of stuff, so I can keep doing what I'm doing, because I'd already been on the radio for about a year at that point when the Gulf of Mexico incident happened, and then like a not less than a year after, I think, I'm not sure about the chronology here, but the second big kick in the pants that I had that made me kind of like sit bolt upright in bed and just go, oh, start doing this even more hardcore, was Fukushima. On the day of Fukushima, Benjamin Fulford calls me from Tokyo while I'm live on air. Like, Benjamin Fulford called me. like, I'm the first radio show host that he called.
Good stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah, man. And that kind of really invigorated me, because then it allowed me the freedom to actually take myself a little bit more seriously. I still don't take myself seriously, but just slightly more seriously than I used to. I used to be everything absolutely 100% flippant. Now I recognize that not only do I have a really privileged position being a radio show host, a lot of people want to be a radio show host but just don't possess the talent. I do. So that means that I'm privileged. With privilege comes responsibility, I believe. So I choose to use my platform that I've been granted by American Freedom Radio to give it, all right? It's kind of like Pass the Parcel. You've ever seen that movie, Pay It Forward? Mine's sort of like the radio version of that. So anybody who's a good, decent person who wants to talk about anything they want, I don't mind. You can just come on my show, talk about it for a bit. We enjoy ourselves, enjoy each other's company for a couple of hours, and then you go away and I send you the archives, and the listeners get to hear from you. We get to have a good time, and that's ultimately the goal of the show, because we don't want to be stressed anymore. We want to have a place that's friendly, that's fun, that's entertaining. And most importantly, makes you laugh while at the same time talking about really, really scary, horrific, terrible information.
Because it is true and it's out there.
Yeah. You know, Ayn Rand had a saying, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Yeah.
So I say...
That's a good one.
Take reality for its face value, but understand that there are two things that happen when a reality comes at you. One, it's a scary reality. So, two, do you choose to be scared knowing this reality? Or do you choose to be angry Or do you choose to... Choose to be...
Vinny, there's lots of... It's infinite possibilities, surely.
I don't know, man. Bad information. People react in a very short, concise sense of ways. You know, it's like that, like the grieving process. You know, like first comes denial, then comes depression, then comes anger, and then finally anger. Acceptance. Yeah. Okay, So I've come to the acceptance part of it. You have to use humor as a coping mechanism. The same methodology is used by. Doctors in triage units, you know, when you've got blood spurting in your face, when you've got people dying in front of you, when you accidentally sew up a pair of scissors inside somebody's chest or something like that, and you feel like you're going to lose your job, boy, you best have a good joke or something hidden away in order to cope with that kind of stuff, don't you?
A cutting remark, even.
Yeah. I mean, you almost have to develop the darkest sense of humour. Because you're looking at the darkest of reality.
Well, listen, the chat box are really enjoying this. Somebody, Peter Slater, says hi from Naki.
The Naki.
Oh, yeah.
Taranaki.
I think that's what he means.
Yeah. Well, the Taranaki, they have a lot of in the Taranaki, they have a lot of good wacky backy.
I think that's great poetry. And just to let you know, I'm not a radio host at all, Vinny. I am just a simple poet.
Ah.
And that's all I've been doing. I've been going out. I lived in England for 26 years of my life, where during Thatcherite Britain, and just couldn't believe people were willing to live as slaves under the British crown the way it was. And so I was a demonstrator. I was out on the poll tax demonstrations and all that type of stuff. I'm an old man, really, do you know? So from the old punk rock era, and that's what woke me up was just the realization that people were being screwed over, and and farmed and tested upon and all that type of stuff. That's living in England, and now I'm living in Ireland. I think it's fantastic, and all I did when I was here was go around places performing my poetry, and that's how I met the guys who run DNS Radio, MSI Radio now, and was offered a show, and I said, no, I don't want it. I don't want to do it. But you know what? A year and a half later, and I'm still saying no, not really.
Can you tell me exactly what really got you into it? Motivation? Because for me, it was trauma.
Well, it probably is trauma, because I didn't have a very... I don't want to go into my childhood, but it was... if I told you that I was having spiritual experiences at the age of 5 years old, going out into the council estate with all my buddies and saying, hey, does this happen to you? And then finding out that, I was a little bit odd and that they didn't have these experiences, I shut the feck up pretty quickly before they thought I was some sort of loony. So from the age of 5 years old, I've been living in a different world altogether, and I've just been outside of the system for a long time. I think I'm unemployable, expelled from school, all that type of stuff. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know, I've been in it a long, long time, but not involved in radio, not involved in getting out there and sitting there and talking to people about various subjects and all the rest of it. I've just been ranting and using the medium, if you like, of poetry to put the truth across to people in the simplistic way. My poetry is accessible. It's very simple. I don't write any poems that are longer than an advert, because I realise people's attention spans due to TV and all the rest of it and all the rest of the conditioning. At the age of 7 or 8 years old, standing up in the middle of a Catholic church and shouting at the priest that's up there, why are you lying to these people? You know, wasn't really a good move. So I've been on the sort of outskirts for a long, long while, Vinny, and I'm honoured to be given a radio show, and I'm even more honoured to have it on MSI Radio, because I tell you what MSI Radio does that I haven't seen other radio stations doing around the world, is that is seeking solutions to our problems, not just talking about them. To have it on MSI, implementing solutions if we possibly can, not just talking about them. And I think that is why it is so bloody special.
Yeah.
There you go.
How many millions of ways to resist the New World Order are there? Practically infinite, right?
Yeah.
And this is actually quite a good thing. Okay, so here's a positive thought. We're all fracked. Okay? We're fracked in every way. No kidding. We're mind controlled. We're lied to. We're poisoned. and we have no rights. Okay, so you just take that as your baseline. Okay, I've got no rights, I'm poisoned from every direction and lied to in every other. That's great, actually. That's quite convenient. Why? Well, let's see. When you're resisting anything, you need a target. Let's say you're it's like on a computer game or something like that, you know, when you shoot at other bad guys or something like that, and when there's only a few bad guys, you've got to like be really precise and you've got to snipe this direction or that direction, you know, and aim very, very carefully and squeeze the trigger slowly. But when you're surrounded by enemies at all times, auto, and you just take them out, right? That's kind of the situation that I think we find ourselves in, is where we've got all the ammunition we need and we can see all the targets clearly, and there's enough of us shooting in order to take them all out. You know, it's just that simple. And we're talking about an intellectual information fight. This is the this is the thing that really got me into Alex Jones initially, and I credit him with a large part of doing my wake up. But I've since kind of don't really listen too much to him anymore, because I'm just really busy doing my own thing for a start. And secondly, I like to have a fun time like that. There aren't too many laughs to be had when there's a, I have the documents, I'm sorry I'm ranting, I said I would take your calls. You know, I mean, it's just not for me anymore. I mean, good luck to him. He's doing what he's doing. Far more successful, far more powerful than I.
I think himself, forget power and all the rest of it. I think, yes, he's done a fantastic job in waking a lot of people up. As David Icke, apart from going down the reptilian road, has many, many people across the world, fantastic people, the Max Egans over your side of the world, and, you know, the Santa Bonaccis, and all these people are doing fantastic work in waking people up. The thing is, we got to live in the here and now as well. And what I'm actually thrilled with at the moment, really, really thrilled with, 30 odd years ago when I was coming out with the things that I'm still coming out with today, this very day, I was ostracized. I was a fucking loony to people, etc., etc. Now, there are so many people who are going, yeah, and can I tell you this, and can I tell you that, and all the rest of it. So it's absolutely brilliant that I think now there is a mass consciousness moving forward into the future that will carry us through, unveil these psychopaths, and they will be gone. They will come down. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think it's a massive beginning, and I think it's incredibly fantastic time to be alive.
It is. It's opportunity, right? Opportunity comes out of crisis, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Had I not been traumatized by my work career, had I not been busted for weed when I was a very young man, and found out that the cop actually every single sentence. Had I not had all these problems, I wouldn't have cared about anything, really. I found that, isn't that interesting? You don't really give a frack about anything until you realize you've got something to lose. Yeah? I realized that my freedom was on the line. I realized that my life was on the line. I realized that my family might get frickin' exterminated if I don't do something. And, you know, here I am. Yeah. And I had an email from...
You're using your platform in a very, very positive way, I think.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is that you get all these frickin' idiots, and I'm not gonna mince words. I'm just gonna call them idiots, who say that, oh, you cover negative stuff. Negative stuff is bad. Really? Does the negative stuff not actually exist? Well, it does exist, but really. So by exposing criminality, I'm giving the criminals power who thrive on anonymity and secrecy. Is that your argument? That when conspiracies get exposed, it actually empowers the conspiracy and allows it to continue? Actually, it's the direct opposite, you idiot. Shut up. For frack's sake. It actually empowers the...
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, the fluffy... New Agers, I hate that phrase. I hate labels, really. But the fluffies, if you like, I'm inventing that one right now. Those fluffy people who think that we can just, you know, and the religious who pray to some other entity to sort it all out when we're here. Here we are. And there it is. Let's sort it out. Let's do something about it. I don't understand why in every single country, New Zealand included, I don't understand why people aren't getting together, sorting out their police forces, whoever they are, getting the ones that go in there with good intentions to arrest their superiors and then go in and arrest their governments for all the corrupt shite they're up to.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm really frustrated. Ultimately, that's the thing. We're nation, aren't we? And you don't know who to trust. You don't. It's really sad. It's harsh. It because you know you get paranoid. You get afraid. You get depressed. You get angry, and you lose your good friends that you've had for years, and your career dries up, and you don't have any frickin' prospects, and you're like everything that you ever held dear, everything that you ever thought was true. It's actually the thing that you hold dear is the thing that's holding you down, and the thing that you were trying to hold down was actually the thing that was trying to bring you up. You know, you're trying to suppress your own freedom when the reality is you're supposed to embrace it. You're supposed to not lie to yourself and say, "Oh, one person can't make a difference." Really? Have you heard of a thing called history? Really? Okay. Make a difference. In actual fact,
speak louder than words, Vinny.
Yeah. Well, in actual fact, mother frack, one person is the only thing that has ever made a the only thing. Masses never make a change by themselves. They always follow somebody. Okay? Masses will follow whatever shepherd you put in front of the sheep, whether that shepherd leads you to a slaughterhouse or to it's inconsequential.
Well, I think we got worked too, Vinny, and I think the global network, you know, of radio hosts, radio stations, radio shows getting out there. We are the new media. In fact, we should be the mainstream media, and we're getting there. We're actually getting there. But what's this about Skype closing down? I was listening to one of your shows recently.
Yeah, Skype desktop version for all computers will no longer exist by the end of this year. Everybody who's paid up to Skype for years of things, I've got paid up to Skype for a year, I think, so I can get free calls to the US, host big conference calls, record video, so on and so forth. That will disappear. Skype, in every way, shape, or form, on a desktop machine, will disappear. The only thing that will be left...
Every radio station, Vinny, is using Skype.
Well, they're going to have to find something else to use.
Okay, so we need a few programmers out there to sort us out. A few geeks and clever people, geniuses out there, to sort us all out.
Or a well-orchestrated public campaign get Skype to not delete this thing which everybody in the entire frickin' truth movement uses.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I tried the same thing back when YouTube changed all their channels around and everybody lost all their rankings. YouTube doesn't even have rankings anymore. I used to be able to tell whether or not I was number one most viewed YouTube channel in New Zealand. Now I have no idea. No idea whatsoever. I don't know who's number two or anything. There's no rankings of any freaking kind. You couldn't put banners up. You couldn't do a whole lot of other things. They just completely destroyed YouTube. But YouTube just continues on. Nobody gives a frack, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure the same thing will happen with Skype. People will just migrate onto other platforms. Skype will lose, I don't know, 98% of its customers. And then the remaining 2% who use Skype on smartphones, which will be the only way to use Skype from now on, will be very, very happy. And Microsoft doesn't care. Microsoft got bazillions of dollars. Why would they care that they're going to destroy the entire truth movement with one fell swoop by the end of this year?
But we could do live shows on Androids, on iPhones, couldn't we?
Oh, yay. That sounds like really great audio quality, don't you think?
Well, I don't see why it can't be.
Yeah, and then there's, and then of course we're, well, great. Now we've got to get all the truthers that are jacked into brain cancer causing frickin' scumbaggery phones for several hours a day. You know?
Yeah.
It's just not cool.
I see your point. I mean, I don't even have Wi-Fi here. I'm on the Ethernet. You know, and with children in the house, that type of thing, you don't want the Wi-Fi around, do you?
Yeah. I'm just sick of it, you know. It's happened a number of times in my career where something that I use that is integral to what I use just gets fracked with because it's third party, you know. Most popular channel in New Zealand on YouTube, and then YouTube gets fracked with. I've become subscribed to enough so that I don't have to worry about my bills, and then my PayPal gets disabled. And I lose all my subscribers that I took years to get, and I'm still not even back to square one yet. You know, that happened right. back in February. And now Skype.
Well, they must be quite pissed off in the first place that, you know, the internet itself, which was a military operation to start off with, is being used to tell the truth about the military complex. It's fantastic.
Well, I mean, we're just theorizing as to the reasons why Skype is actually doing this, of course.
Yes. Yeah, we don't know their reasons. They could be, you know, wanting us to be taken down.
Yeah.
If we want to get paranoid about it.
I think, I'm just kind of losing my train of thought. I've got this other radio show host on my network giving me crap right now for exposing Pete Santilli, and it's really fracking me off. Like, because... this is another important element, okay? So not only was it Fukushima and the Gulf of Mexico woke me up, kind of changed me and motivated me, also knowledge of psychopath mentalities, psychopathic behavior, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And how they affect people, how they really, really draw people in, how they suck them into their little world.
So what do you think of Thomas Sheridan's work?
Thomas Sheridan's the man. Like, the underscore... man.
do you know what, Vinny? I am so thrilled that he's a mate of mine. He actually wrote the foreword to my poetry book.
Oh, you lucky devil.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. And you know, it's actually better than any of the poems in the bloody book, which is a bit embarrassing, but anyway.
Well, what do you expect, bro? You're going up against Sheridan.
And he's been on this show many times, and he's even asked me to, I couldn't, unfortunately, but to sit in and host his show when he was unavailable. So, yeah, to read his books, to find out how psychopaths operate, how they work, how one can easily keep them at much, much more than arm's length, and to spot them even in a bloody busy pub, do you know?
Yeah.
It's good knowledge to have if you can get it.
Well, my father once told me, I don't have any friends that can't...
You don't? Sorry, you broke up then, Vinny. What was that?
My father once told me that he doesn't have any friends who can't build things, can't create.
Oh, great.
So all of his friends were like in construction, or were electricians, carpenters, okay. Builders, that kind of thing. And... what that taught me is that the circle of friends that you have, you're able to do. And I've surrounded myself with people who are creative, intelligent, insightful, hardworking, in a lot of cases actually famous, who have common decency and respect. Those are the only friends that I have. And those are the required parameters. If you're my friend on one or any of those aspects, kind of don't really want to be your friend, bro. It's not being me being mean. It's just that you're just not worth my freaking time. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, because friends are really... you only have a few of them. You know, you can't maintain complex relationships with lots and lots of people. Usually half a dozen tops. Really... extremely well.
Well, I'm actually totally impressed with anybody that puts up with me for, you know, longer than a couple of weeks. So anyone that's stuck around any longer, and there's plenty of them now, fair play to them, because I'm, you know, I can be really out there sometimes, you know.
Mm, mm, mm.
So it's fantastic. Listen, I haven't, because I've been listening to you quite intently, Vinny, and I had a few internet problems too. I haven't really been looking at the chat room, and I usually ask every question and really make this an interactive show. And I've been so in awe of having you on and all the rest of it. I'm going to go and check down on the... are you looking at the chat box, Vinny, is a question.
No.
Right. So Sean, pass him a hanky, would you? Ha ha, love the man. Well said, Vinny Eastwood. And then they're going on to talk about Bill Cooper.
Yeah.
And his truths. What do we think of him?
Bill Cooper is the original. Let me explain this.
Manly P. Hall?
There's a whole bunch of older radio hosts who started exposing the truth back in the day. Some of them are still alive today and becoming famous and so on and so forth. But I believe that Bill Cooper was the man, okay? Like, he was the model by which all... He's kind of like the yardstick by which you measure the integrity of a radio show host in the future. Nobody has come to the point... by my recollection anyway, to come up with better, more well-sourced information, or to have a support for the Constitution of the United States, who has never screwed over anybody, and who has exposed scumbaggery even within the truth movement itself. Yeah, he's somebody to look up to, and if you haven't heard him before, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best interviews that you can ever hear with Bill Cooper is one where he interviewed a neo-Nazi. A Nazi guy calls into the station, starts saying all this racist stuff, and the new board up, the new radio show host there was like totally unprepared for it. He's like, what the hell's going on? And then Bill Cooper talks in and he's like, all right, you're dealing with me now, son, you know? And he actually actually talks him down and makes him realize that he wasted his entire life on racism and completed his tune, right?
Yeah.
I was like, it was a broadcast that literally made me cry.
Oh, he's still there, Vin?
Yeah, it was a broadcast that literally made me cry. Nope. Can you hear me? Hello? No? Nothing?
Fuck. Yeah, now we can. You just went into it. Now we can, Vin.
Okay. Vinny? Okay, good.
You went on a bit of a loop then. Disappeared for a while, so now you're back.
Okay, well, my connection's really bad. I need to reset my computer before my show starts. So if we could wrap this up really, really quickly, that'd be nice.
We can, and of course we can. And listen, thanks very much. We obviously have got to talk longer at some point, and let's talk about solutions in the future sometime, Vinny, okay? And you're welcome on any time, of course, and I'm sure all the other hosts here would love to have you on their show too. We can. And listen, thanks for you. And they'd love to go on yours as well, as you say, that it's open to people to come on and talk about any subject that they might want. So, Vinny Eastwood, Guerrilla Media, Mr. News, thank you so, so much for coming on the show. And we're going to go into the next part of the show. Vinny, do you want to say cheerio to all our MSI listeners?
All right, MSI listeners, thank you very much for listening. And if you want to continue doing so, please do so. At the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and live in about 5 minutes at AmericanFreedomRadio.com with the guy from...
They'll still be listening to me, Vinny.
Yeah. I'm sure they will. Catch the archives at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com.
Yeah, catch the podcast, guys. Catch the podcast. We got a great guest coming up.